You are listening to the Loikamania Pop Culture Podcast. Is brought to you by CheapGraphicNovels.com, where you can purchase your favorite trade paperbacks and hardcovers for up to 45% off cover price.
How's it going, everybody? You're listening to Loikamania episode 56. My name is Pat Loika, and once again, I am joined by my good buddy. I wouldn't call him a sidekick, but he's Adam Witt.
Well, thank you, sir. What's going on?
Not much, man. It's been a while since we've had you on. By this time, anyway, it's been 4 weeks since we last got together to talk with Jeff Lemire.
Stacking the episodes.
Yeah, man. There's just been a lot of stuff going on. We've had a few different guests since then. And I think I wanted to do something different this week. And I wanted to kind of focus on some books that, that we haven't talked about, that not many people have been talking about, actually. And I thought it was time to do some hidden gems.
Hidden gems too. All right. Let's get this going.
I wish I had some kind of sound drop that would kind of express that we're like hidden gems, like a boo or something, like, you know, like an explosion or something like that.
Yeah.
Just to kind of talk about, hey, we're talking about hidden gems.
Somebody digging and hitting gold or something like that.
I think I found something, son.
Exactly.
Or I don't know. Whatever. So like last time, you and I, we have picked some books that we want to spotlight this week. I have three books, and I'm assuming you have three as well.
I also have three, Pat Loika.
This is fantastic. So shall we start with you, then?
Yeah, I guess we could. This is something we both dig that I'm really surprised we didn't talk about last time, in retrospect. It was the first guy we interviewed together on this very podcast. But it's Matt Fraction. It was his his first sort of creator-owned thing. It was we're talking about Mantooth.
Yes, Mantooth.
And the back of the book itself tells you it. You know, it's part James Bond, part Indiana Jones, part ape, and it's ridiculous. Like I can't think of a better word.
It is a really ridiculous book, and I love it. It's so much fun.
I always when I was selling this at the comic shop I worked at, I would always, you know, people came in for Next Wave and stuff like that. Like, this is pretty much where Next Wave got its sense of humor. It's got a foreword by Warren Ellis that kind of acknowledges that, and there is so much cool stuff in this book. It is a ton of fun. It's off the wall. There are many swear words in it. It's really just Matt Fraction's id firing off, and it's a lot of fun. I it's something that he cringes when he has to sign it, but I still think it holds up wonderfully. The current printing is the annotated book, and on one side it's got the script, and on the other side it's got the page, and I think that gives a neat double side to it. And even the scripts are funny, you know.
Oh yeah, Fraction's, and he's got a ridiculous sense of humor, as evidenced by his Twitter feed. You know, especially if you follow him on Twitter, you see all this ridiculous stuff, and you think, man, this sounds like stuff that he could do for some material for a new Mantooth, if there ever was one.
I really hope it happens someday.
I would love to see that. I mean, and especially since Andy Kuhn, who he collaborated with in this book, has really gotten so much better since, you know, your initial release. I think they could do all kinds of cool stuff.
Oh, and Andy's stuff in this is still so great. I mean, such a great handle on inking and everything. This is really a masterclass on inking too. I recommend this to all my friends that are inking nerds, because there's some really cool stuff in there.
Yeah, there's a lot of really there's a lot of really ridiculous, you know, moments in this thing. A lot of ridiculous, you know, visuals. I can't see how anyone who loves fun or loves, you know, or enjoys comics for the absurdity of comics, I don't see how anyone of those people cannot get into this book, because it's just too much and it's ridiculous. I love it.
World's greatest grandpa, man. World's greatest grandpa.
Yeah, man. I love the annotated trade. Actually, is available, you know, for a lot of places like Amazon. It's $13. It's 96 pages. There's contributions from all these, from a who's who of really cool people. Like, you know, Warren Ellis has stuff in there. Joe Casey, Larry Young,
Greg Rucka.
Rucka's in there. Robert Kirkman. so many people contributing to this thing, and it's a who's who, and just seeing them kind of reacting to this comic that Matt Fraction decided to do long ago, it's something to behold.
And it seems like you might not get all that you're putting in price wise. Uh-huh. But this book is not a quick read. I think it's a breezy read, like in comparison to stuff like Casanova.
Uh-huh.
But it gives you every time that you put into it. Like, there's so much content in this book.
There really is, and it's like I said, there's too much going for it for anyone to just dismiss it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. This was published by AIT Planet Lore, and I think if you go to their website, you can purchase it there. I know it's available on Amazon though, so people should really give it a try. It's fun. If you love Next Wave, this is pretty much, like you said, it's in the same vein, and it's actually in some respects it's even funnier. But it really does all kinds of ridiculously. It's ridiculously wonderful shit.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I wish they would do more. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
I think Matt Fraction, now that he's informed by like this long, his long experience, all these experiences working in mainstream comics. Imagine that Matt Fraction having absorbed all that knowledge and all that doing this type of comic, because I mean, it'd be even more ridiculous.
Yeah. Hopefully, he's listening to us.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure he's not. But yeah, I love
it. He's a busy man.
Yeah, he's a busy man. Yeah, I love it. Yeah, good pick.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah,
it's your turn.
Next up is a fairly recent book. I adored this book as it was coming out, and I'm kind of disappointed that they're not going to be doing a follow up because it didn't do well enough for them to do so. And it's from IDW. It's created by Steve Niles, who is probably one of the champions of creator-owned content in comics right now, and illustrated by one of my favorites, Fiona Staples, and it's Mystery Society. Now, the basic concept is that this is, this husband and wife couple, very rich and resourceful, they want to discover all the paranormal secrets of the world, and they're basically recruiting people to be part of their group, their team. Of course, their team is pissing off all the wrong people, like the government, for example. And they were made to look like outlaws. And this first volume is basically them trying to recover the missing skull of Edgar Allan Poe. It is such a it's so much fun. It kind of feels like I think iFanboy had a really good description of the dynamic between the two characters, Nick Hammond and Anastasia Collins. He described him as Spider-Man and the Black Cat, as a married couple swinging through the skyline, and just with all the quips and all the it's so much fun. Fiona Staples' art is gorgeous. She is. I think she's a more, if Phil Noto were to draw a lot looser, that would be very much what Fiona's art looks like in this book. Like, she kind of has the same color palette. She colors this also. She has a similar palette to what Noto uses, but again, she has looser lines and her art is more gestural. And she really has a great command of facial expressions and body language. I think she's phenomenal. And I think anyone who's going to get into her work, especially with Saga coming up with Brian K. Vaughan, this is the perfect book for them to check out. Have you ever read this? I have.
You were just on a roll there, yeah. So I wanted to kind of let you go. But yeah, how about that art? Like, I really dug the story, and there is a lot of cool stuff going on there.
And go on, sorry.
Oh, pardon me. But her art is just ridiculous. I can't believe she hasn't gotten more stuff out there, and that this BKV thing is going to be her first real breakout. But yeah, this is a great place to see some really gorgeous art. And yeah, it is a really fun book. I didn't expect that from Steve Niles.
That's exactly what I'm going to say. Like, Steve, I didn't realize Steve Niles was capable of something like this, but here it is. It's fun. It's fun. There's a mystery element to it. There's even some espionage stuff here. So there's even some ridiculousness, like some stuff that you would think Matt Fraction or John Hickman would come up with. He does in here. It's good stuff.
I've recommended this to fans of like Criminal and the Ed Brubaker stuff because it's got a really good the fun edge is really what sold the book to me. Like I checked that out on your recommendation actually, but the fun is really what moves the book and Fiona's art does not hurt because it's absolutely wonderful. But
yeah.
Yeah, no, it's a really entertaining read. It's worth everybody's time.
Yeah, again, I'm disappointed because I heard that the second arc would have been done by would have been illustrated by Kevin Mellon, who is also another one of those guys who's on the rise right now, and he's got a couple of books coming up like Lovestruck and Heart, and this would have been cool if he got to do this. So it's a shame that never happened. But I'm glad we at least got this one volume, and it's a gorgeous book by Steve and Fiona. I highly recommend that people seek it out while it's still in print, and I hope it does well enough in trade form that they decide, hey, you know what, maybe we can do more. But, you know, the comics business being what it is, it's rough.
Definitely.
Yeah. What's next on your list?
I've got a really down deep gem. This is actually something that'll have people digging through back issue bins because it's pretty hard to find. But I'd feel bad if I didn't talk about it. It's Saint Swithin's Day by Grant Morrison and Paul Grist. This came out through Oni Press a good handful of years ago. I can't remember exactly when, but it's a young Grant Morrison doing a story about a frustrated teenager who decides he's going to kill the Prime Minister of the UK. It's 22-24 pages, standard comic length, and it's really a different side of Grant Morrison. It's a very economical book. There's not a lot going on, there's not a ton going on word-wise from panel to panel. It's not a huge high concept, but it's crazy. It's one of those books that where you just go through it frantically waiting to find out what happens, and Paul Grist does what Paul Grist does best. It's dark, it's got a lot of the underground sort of setting to it, and it's a really interesting side of Grant Morrison's writing. I think something that we haven't seen in that he's writing this teen character, and it's excellent. It really made me want to see him do more stuff like that because he gets that frustrated sort of buzz that goes on in a kid's head. He nails that perfectly. And the ending, I think, is one of the best things he's ever written. But yeah, it's really interesting to see the side of him that comes out in this story. Have you had a chance to read this?
No, I haven't actually. I've heard about it for you. I just haven't had the chance to read it.
Yeah, like I said, it's a pain to find, and but it's such a good book that so many people hadn't heard of, and I was surprised so many people hadn't heard of it. But it's excellent. It is a really, really good book, and it really stands out as something different in the Morrison library. It's not spacefaring. There aren't tons of robots. Not that any of that strikes against him, but it's different to see him write in this kind of vein.
I'm rather surprised that it was an Oni book, actually. And then, so when did he write this? Like, do we have
I think maybe 98 or somewhere thereabouts.
Wow. Around the
I've
time
got
he
top
doing...
men on the case right now, but yeah, no, it is it's really odd. Since I haven't read all the new X-Men, did he touch on any of the teen stuff then?
I mean, he had some teenage characters, like the special class, for example. The Kid Omega. He had some teenage characters pop up, and then of course there's Beak. But it's teenagers for the eyes of being a mutant. So it's kind of weird. Yeah, I mean, he does have a pretty good handle on the rebellious nature of teenagers and kids like that, but he didn't expand on it enough.
Yeah, I guess he wrote this in 1989. It was originally put out by Trident Comics.
89. Oh, that was well before. So Oni published that when? In 97?
Yeah, it looks that way. I can't really – it's not really saying exactly, but yeah, somewhere thereabouts. And it just kind of flew under people's radar, because it was a single issue. It just kind of came out of nowhere. When Trident put it out, it was, a 1-4 thing. But yeah, it's – I'm really surprised that nobody's jumped on it and reprinted it. But it's worth any Grant Morrison fan's time. Absolutely. It's cool seeing him do – it feels like a short – Jason, you know, the cartoonist Jason who all this stuff is out there. I believe through Fantagraphics. Yeah. It feels like, you know, one of his stories feels very indie. It's really cool. It's a good story.
I will definitely give it a look. I can find it anyway. But I'm looking forward to that. Who did the art on this book again?
Paul Grist.
Oh shit, Paul Grist.
Yes, he of Kane and Jack Staff and all that.
And he's got a new book coming out too for Image. I think it's Mudman, I believe, or something.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
No, it looks really cool. It's something to jump on your pre-order catalog or your DCBS or whatnot.
Yeah. I'll definitely look for that. I wish someone would reprint that. I don't know. I wonder if Oni even has the rights to that book still or what.
Yeah, I don't know exactly what the deal is. It's an interesting little blip in the Morrison library. I hope somebody picks it up, and I hope the people that are listening can track it down at the very least.
Yeah, what's it called? It's called Saint Swithin's Day. You said?
Yeah, Saint Swithin's Day. Saint Swithin's Day.
I will look for it.
So back to you with something that we can actually find in stores pretty easily.
Yeah, this is a series that recently concluded. It's written by Jonathan Hickman, illustrated by many folks, including Stefano Caselli and Alessandro Vitti. It's Secret Warriors. Now, when this was running, I don't think it got enough attention, you know? I mean, yeah, it was a big launch because Bendis co-wrote the book with Hickman, and there was a character that Bendis created. But, eventually Bendis just gave the book to Hickman because Hickman had Hickman could do it by himself, you know? So, at this point, you know, it's the story, I mean, right in the aftermath of Secret Invasion. It's about these, you know, these kids that Nick Fury kind of is training as a, you know, as an elite black ops unit, but they all have superpowers and they're all like related to someone in the Marvel universe in some form or fashion. Like one of the main characters is Daisy Johnson. Her code name is Quake. She is the illegitimate daughter of Mr. Hyde, for example. And there's all kinds of people related to each other. Anyway, this whole saga, which spans 28 issues and it's going to be a total of 5 trades or hardcovers, whichever you prefer, is it's just this tale of, you know, Nick Fury on a mission, and he's dragging these kids along with him. And, of course, it doesn't always work out well. And in the process of this, you learn things about S.H.I.E.L.D. and HYDRA and all this stuff that goes on in the Marvel Universe. And it changes the way you look at certain characters and certain happenings. So it's a really good book. I don't think it got enough love. It was one of those books that really kept me going, and I kept rereading those books. I keep rethinking everything because they're so dense. You know, there's a lot of stuff going on. There's a lot of things to consider. There's a lot of stuff, like, you know, like, let's say when you read issue 27 or 26, there's something that's revealed there that kind of puts something that was in issue 1 into a different point of view. You learn to look at it in a different light. It's a very rewarding read if you're reading from the beginning to end. And there's there's a lot of really cool characters there. There's even an issue where a set of characters are introduced, and I don't even want to ruin anything for you, but these characters get introduced, and when you get to the end, you're just in shock at what just happened at the end of the book. So yeah, Secret Warriors, it doesn't get enough love. It should be read by more people. And if you're, you could be a non-Marvel person, and you can pick up that book, and you'll be fine. If you're deep into the Marvel Universe, you can really get into it, and there's so much for you to sink your teeth into, and you'll want to keep looking up older stuff that may have something to do with it. So
yeah, right.
Yeah,
I haven't had a chance to read it myself, but I remember seeing, you know, that there'd be these huge discussion threads about it, depending on which, you know, on all the message board, you know, your CBRs and Newsaramas and all that, just digging into it and going, what did this mean? What did this mean? And how everything tied into each other. And there was a really strong, you know, even though, like you said, it didn't get the attention it deserved, people that were paying attention to it really loved it.
Yeah, and like I said, it is a very rewarding read, especially if you stick from the beginning and you just follow along and you just let Hickman and his crew take you to all these places and just, you know, put you in this journey. And really, in the end, it's about this bitter old warhorse who's basically trying to clean up all his messes towards the end. And Hickman writes such a great Nick Fury. you can't help but get into it. His Nick Fury is kind of a bastard, and it's okay.
Well, Nick Fury is a bastard, so I guess that only fits.
Yeah, but he's a very lovable bastard. But you know how it is with that guy. He can't hold on to his own book, but man, you put him in a book with other people, he's just such a great catalyst for all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, he's showing up in that new Howard Chaykin book, isn't he?
I believe he's part of that. In what's that thing called again? Avengers 1959, which I am very excited about, just because look at that team, man. You got Kraven the Hunter, you got Sabretooth, you got Nomura. You can't go wrong with that book. I'm all for it. It's such a weird group of characters, and they make so much sense. Of course, there's Dominic Fortune, which is, that's Howard's boy. So, he's all over that.
You forgot something very important about Secret Warriors 2.
What's that?
Special appearances by Pat Loika.
Well, yeah, Druid kind of looks like me, but I'm not going to get into that. And we'll jump back to you. What's your next pick?
My next one is another kind of indie thing, but you can find this pretty easily. I think the current printing's out through Dark Horse. One of my favorite cartoonists is Paul Hornschmeyer, and he kind of came onto this scene with a book called Mother Come Home. It's kind of hard to summarize. It's basically about a father and his son. The father's spiraling into depression. The son really doesn't know how to deal with it. Walks around wearing this lion mask, and there's really not a lot of rhyme or reason to it at the beginning, but as you get further into the book, things start to make more sense. And this is it's a very dark book. It's not very upbeat. A lot of Hornschmeyer stuff isn't, but it gives you a terrific story to go along with. The art is very strong. I think it's still some of the best stuff Hornschmeyer's done, even though it was early in his body of work. And it gives you a good idea of what the guy's about, what kind of stories he does, and it's an interesting read. There are some really weird bookends to it. It kind of goes into some meta territory, but it keeps you going. And even though it's dark, it's really there is an edge of uplift to the ending and to how everything goes with it. You've read this, right? Because I thought I sent this out to you.
Yes, I have read it. Yeah, it's really a. I mean, Hornschmeyer is someone who I basically got into. Well, thanks to you, actually. Although I've seen his name in other places, I never really got into his stuff until much later on. He's a phenomenal storyteller. This was, at first, it was kind of a tough read, but it was so well done. You can't really deny the guy's talent, and then you can't deny just what he's trying to do, and you just can't help but follow through and keep and keep reading. There was a lot of sequences in here that I really enjoyed. I'm having a hard time putting it to words, because this kind of had an effect on me when I read it, because I had some father issues also, so I can kind of identify a bit with the character. And
yeah, it's one of those books where really I think everything Hornschmeyer does really swings this way. It doesn't pull any punches. It doesn't. in each of the thematic elements it goes into, it swings really deep. Especially when you get it, when you get into where the title comes from with Mother Come Home, it really doesn't it doesn't pull any punches. It doesn't take any it takes no prisoners. It knows where all of its bullets need to go, basically, and you were saying with the storytelling side of it, this guy really knows what he's doing.
This is the first thing he ever did, right?
I think he had done some. There's a collection of really early stuff, but he had taken a lot of time off in between that and this. So yeah, you might as well call it a first book.
Okay. Well, yeah. Well, for a first full length book, this is pretty damn good. It's one of those things that you really have to read, because you learn a lot from his storytelling. I mean, he doesn't have the most detailed style. He doesn't have the flashiest style, but man, it's so good.
This is definitely one for the art guys too. I mean, the story was what kept me in it, and you know, kept me reading it. And I think there's a lot. I think there's a lot to pick apart on the writing side, but the art is really, you know, he is I think one of the best cartoonists working today. He's definitely one of my favorites. But yeah, there's a lot to pick up on and learn from in this.
Yeah, and I think this is still coming out for this came out for Fantagraphics, right? Is it still a fan of the book, or
It was originally through Fantagraphics. I'm pretty sure that Dark Horse just reprinted it.
Okay, don't remember.
Pretty
who.
Sure. Yeah, pretty sure. Can't be 100% positive, but I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
Either way, it is available right now. It's available in hardcover. It's somewhere in the region of $20. You should be able to find it pretty easy.
Yeah, and $20 is not a bad deal at all, considering what you're getting out of it. So
yeah, this is another one like Mantooth, where you know the science is deceptive. You might not think you're gonna get a full read from it. This will kill an afternoon easily.
Yeah, if it doesn't kill your soul in the process.
Yeah, this is one of those books where most of the people who read it were like, oh man, I cried, and. You know, if you like a read like that, it's absolutely 100% worth your time.
Definitely. And, yeah, you're also, you're right, I'm flipping through it right now. It is a Dark Horse book. I can't believe I forgot that. But, next on the list is for my next pick, is an Oni book. It's called The Sixth Gun. It's by Cullen Bunn and artist Brian Hurt. And this is a nice – I hate using the term mashup, but it kind of is. It's a mashup of sci-fi, horror, and Western, all in the same place. And it's it's a post-Civil War story. Basically there's this evil Confederate general who's like – who just can't seem to die. And he's trying to find his most precious possession, which is an ancient weapon. It's a gun, of course.
It might even be the sixth one.
Yes, but yes, it's a great book. It's so much fun. It's so unlike anything else you read. Cullen Bunn is just with every book he does, he just keeps getting better and better. And Brian Hurt is slowly becoming one of my favorite comic artists. Out there, because Hurt has he's got a very nice style going. It's kind of cartoony, which is not a bad thing, and at the same time, his storytelling is pretty fucking great. I mean, I've only seen them, I've seen them do, the Damned together, and they've done, a few things here and there, but this is like their masterpiece right here, and I'm glad it's getting some it's starting to get some recognition, because apparently they just signed a deal with Sci-Fi for a TV show, which I hope they don't fuck up.
Showtime, actually.
I think it's Sci-Fi.
Mm.
Showtime got The Damned.
Oh, pardon me. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. You're right. I got that flipped around.
Yeah. Yeah, Bunn's a pretty underrated writer. He's pretty damn phenomenal, and I'm happy to see that he's been getting a lot of work with the bigger publishers. Like, he's doing some Marvel work now. He did a Fear Itself tie-in book, for example, and
he's doing the Fearless once that ends too.
Yeah, he's
right?
Also involved in the Fearless. It's he's pretty fucking impressive. I hate using coarse language here, but yeah, I'm excited. I'm pretty excited about it, and I think people should be checking it out, because it's there's two volumes out right now for Six Gun. They're pretty easy to find.
Still going on, right?
Yes, it's an ongoing book, and it's still going on from Oni. Our friends over at cheapgraphicnovels.com have these available for 40% off or something like that. You should check them out, because if you're not into the story, if you're not into the genre, you'll at least get into the art, because the art's amazing, and it's one of the most – it's a breath of fresh air. There's so many superhero books out there. There's so much of everything else out there. And way too many superhero books. And as much as I love superheroes, sometimes I need a break from that. This gives me exactly what I need when I'm not reading something like Criminal. It's just, yeah, get The Sixth Gun. I love Westerns. I love all the stuff that they're doing here. You really cannot go wrong. And you should look for it, because it's wonderful. Have you ever read any of this before?
You've been telling me to read this, and I just haven't had a chance. I think I own the first trade, but yeah, I can definitely agree with you on Brian Hurt's art. He's a terrific storyteller. There's some really cool stuff going on in it. And yeah, it's neat to see that big, you know, like you said, it's a mashup of genres. There's some weird stuff going on there, but yeah, it's cool. It's neat. I'm looking forward to finally, I think I'll pick it up tonight so we can actually talk about it at some point.
Yes. I like this. I like the way this feels. Seriously, this book, it's so good. People really should give it, people should give it a chance. And it's not often that you'll get, you know how every time like an indie publisher, you know, like Image or something like that puts out a book and they keep hyping it up as being the next big thing, as being something really special. And sometimes,
yeah, there's a big campaign behind this one.
Yeah, sometimes, you know, they just don't live up to it. This book really does. Seriously, I am absolutely in love with this book, and I'm really, really hoping that it continues to do well, because it's such a it's the perfect storm of great art, great writing, you know, great concept. You really can't fail with The Sixth Gun. So
yeah, it's very different from anything that's out there. Like you were saying, it's something you can pick up and get a very unique feel from it. You know, I've heard a lot of people compare it to Casanova.
Yeah, that's pretty. It's the Casanova of westerns.
There you go, right?
And you know what? That's a damn good thing to say, especially for me. Yeah, pick this book up. I can't say enough. And seriously, I'm really passionate about this book. You guys, yeah, this is good. Anyway, we'll move on to our webcomic pick, and this webcomic is done by someone that I know. And I'm pretty friendly with, and objectively speaking, this is one of the most entertaining webcomics I read every single time a new strip comes up. It's called Battle Pug.
There is no ass kissing involved here. It's actually a really, really great comic.
Yeah. And for one thing, this is by Mike Norton, by the way. For one thing, Mike has really stepped up his game. His art is probably at its best here. And clearly, It's simply because this is something he really loves doing. You know, this is a subject that he's having so much fun with. You know,
he loves battles. He loves pugs. Uh-huh. It's all there. It is all there. No, I love how this book just can shift gears. I hate to compare the sense of humor to MASH, but the way it goes from really irreverent to really serious to it's just constantly flipping switches in the way it's going, you know, from, you know, silly to mature and all that. Mm-hmm. It's weird. It's really, really weird, but in the best way.
Yeah. And the thing is, this kind of really shows you Mike's personality, because Mike has a weird sense of humor, you know, and it's funny. And There's like a couple of strips back. There's this ridiculous thing where the thing that incites rage, and I forgot the character's name, but something that incites this character's rage was an image of it looks like a seal or something. Remember that?
Yes, yeah. Like, the more defend, no gratitude. And
only hate and anger. It's just this picture.
Yeah, he keeps hyping up this the destroyer of the village, and it's this really adorable cuddly seal.
That's one of the many visual gags in this thing. And I like Mike's art, and he does such a great job whenever he's on, you know, mainstream books like Young Justice or Fear Itself, Youth in Revolt, but the stuff he does there kind of pales to what he does in this webcomic, because this is something that he absolutely loves, you know?
That's not even an insult to it, because, I mean, the stuff he's doing, you know, over at Marvel and DC are excellent, but this is just like, it's really him firing on all cylinders. It's really cool to see an artist, you know, you can really see when they're at the top of their game, when they're really digging something that they're doing, and this is a great example of that. It's, I remember last time we did this, we talked about Bucko, and as disparate as these two are, like in terms of content and everything, mm-hmm. I would recommend them to fans of each other, because they've got a pretty similar sense of humor in terms of the weird stuff that just goes on and kind of comes out of nowhere.
Yeah, I would like to see a crossover. I would have the warrior fight the Juggalette or something.
I would love to see the Bucko Battle Pug crossover.
it will make no sense, and that's okay, because, you know, maybe you can have the Witch Toad show up over at Bucko.
Yeah,
who knows?
Make it happen.
Yeah, they can pull it off. It's funny. Yeah, this is a great book. And considering, you know, Mike has a pug, and that's really what inspired this, is because of his own pet. And who would have thought that you know, that concept could yield such ridiculously funny results? And at the same time, you don't know what to make of this. Is this supposed to be funny, or is this supposed to be serious? Because there's all kinds of imagery of you know, like people getting killed. There's some blood and gore. There's skeletons and graves and all this stuff. And then you see some wacky looking people show up, and it's such a product of this guy's mind, you know. It really shows you how the type of sense of humor he has, at the same time that clearly the type of stuff he likes. I mean, you could I don't know, it's kind of like an 80s action movie mixed with like some modern sense of humor, you know.
Yeah, no, I hadn't thought of it that way. That's actually a really cool description of it.
Oh man, that's this webcomic is amazing. It's, you know, it's called Battlepug. Once again, go to battlepug.com, which we will link you to, and I think I will link to Amazon or cheap graphic novels for all the stuff that we have, you know, mentioned here, so people can check it out. Did you have anything else you want to add as far as hidden gems?
We were talking about Cullen Bunn. Did you get a chance to read The Tooth?
No, I haven't. I'm still trying to find. Actually, I still need to get a copy.
Yeah, it's an original graphic novel out from Oni. It's Cullen Bunn and Sean Lee co-wrote it, and Matt Kent drew it. It's a big, crazy Kirby adventure, basically. It'll remind you of stuff like Commandy.
Oh, really?
I cannot recommend it enough. It's I feel the same way about that book that you feel about The Sixth Gun, basically. I wasn't really sold on Cullen Bunn's stuff since I really only read like the Fear Itself tie-in. And then this came out, I got a chance to flip through it. It is terrific. It is it's another thing. I think Cullen Bunn really aims for the sort of things where you can say, I've never read anything like this. And even though it's really referential to a lot of the old school, you know, Kirby stuff and, you know, some of the Steve Ditko stories, and there's a bit of Joe Kubert in there too, I think. It really comes from its own, you know, self-same place. And I can't recommend that enough. I would definitely say that it's a good accompaniment to pretty much everything we recommended today. You know, fans of each of those would enjoy it.
Oh, yeah. I really need to find this thing and read it, because you mentioned two names that I'm a big fan of, and you mentioned Matt Kent and you mentioned Cullen Bunn. I will definitely look for it.
Yeah, do you have any quick hits that you can think of off the top of your head?
Trying to think right now, because you know what? There's an Oni graphic novel that came out last year. I'm still waiting on the second volume. It's called Super Pro KO. I think I talked about it on the show before, but I don't remember if I did. So you'll excuse me if I bring it up again. Super Pro KO is basically, it's a pro wrestling graphic novella, or graphic novel rather. It's got, I mean, you can kind of compare it to Scott Pilgrim, but it's about pro wrestling and what if these people were really living that, you know, if they're treating the wrestling part of it as a real thing. It's pretty funny. There's a lot of really, I mean, especially, man, see, listen to me pimping a pro wrestling related comic, right, in this podcast. But it's a funny book. It's the creator's name is Jarrett Williams, and it's basically the story of his first volume is you know, Joe Somiano. He's running late to his very first match in Super Pro KO, which is, you know, the pro wrestling league that he's part of. The art style is kind of reminiscent. It has a little bit of it's very reminiscent of manga or anime style. Even kind of there's you can kind of see a little influence from Akira Toriyama, for example. And it's very over the top. There's, you know, there are pro wrestlers there that are, you know, with very over the top gimmicks like you expect in pro wrestling. Like you know, there's Mr. Awesomeness to Tomahawk. Yeah. There's Tomahawk Slamson, King Crown Jr., Yoko Nono. There's all kinds of ridiculous characters. It's so much fun. And
I can't believe I've never heard of this. This sounds ridiculous.
Yeah. Oh yeah, it's great. It's so funny, and he really does a good job illustrating the moves as people do them, and you think some of the characters were like out of like I don't know like a Street Fighter video game or something like that, and then they got put into a pro wrestling thing. It's a lot of fun. Everything is hand drawn and hand lettered. Even you can tell it's hand lettered just because of the way the writing is. But nice. It looks like one of those a labor of love, because this dude obviously is a big wrestling fan, and he is he loves comic books, and that's why he did this. You know, and, you know, maybe if you watch this, you can learn how to do the elevated double chicken wing, or something. Seriously, look for this book. It's from Oni. It's $12. You can't go wrong. It's about the size of a Scott Pilgrim book. You know, this is the first volume. I'm waiting for the second one. Apparently, the second one is the second one's in the works right now. It's a really cool quote here from Brian Lee O'Malley, where he describes Jarrett Williams as a towering inferno of comics. Get in on the ground floor so you can watch him burn down and then explode, and you'll die horribly in the process. Which is a great quote. But yeah, it's a funny book, and I absolutely enjoyed it. And I think more people will get a kick out of it. I think more people should listen to it. Should watch it. I mean, should read this and watch it. See, I'm getting my pro wrestling thing mixed up. Oh, man.
It will not teach you how to do the Pat Classic, though.
No, nobody gets to learn that. That is my move. At any rate, Adam, before we kind of close out, we haven't talked about any new stuff, so I think maybe it would be fun to talk a little bit about stuff that's fairly recent. Have you picked up any books over the last week or so, last couple of weeks?
Oh, man, I have not been out to my comic shop since I'm moving back to Chicago, so I really haven't had a chance. But other than that, this isn't really a hidden gem, but FF by Jonathan Hickman is great.
Oh, man. Hickman's firing on all cylinders, man. I mean, FF number 8 was great. Ultimates number 1 was awesome. And another person that we had on recently, Rick Remender, his new issue of X-Force number 13 was pretty damn gut-wrenching, too.
Yeah, I'm way behind on that, but...
this new issue... Actually, this new issue, number 13, features 3 former Locomania guests.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it has, of course, Rick Remender, Mark Brooks, and Dean White from last week's episode.
So, the old Locomania issue of of X-Force. Fantastic.
It was a fantastic issue. I absolutely loved it. And, if you're an old-school X-fan like I am, if you're a fan of the Age of Apocalypse stuff, there's... major stuff happens in this issue, and I don't want to ruin it because I want people to read it. But yeah, it's great. I was really saddened by how it ended. Seriously.
Oh. Yeah, the next few weeks are going to be really good for comics. You've got the last issue of Flashpoint coming out pretty soon, and September just looks so good for comics with the new Casanova starts up. You've got Holy Terror by Frank Miller, Craig Thompson's huge Habibi book. Mm-hmm. Is finally coming out after all these years it's been in the works. It's going to be really cool. I mean, you've got all the DC relaunch stuff coming up. So, yeah,
there's the Ultimate Books relaunching, too, are starting to come out. So, yeah, there's a lot of good stuff.
Yeah, so I forgot Spencer's Nick Ultimate Spencer's, Act.
Yeah, and they've been running a preview, actually, the first few pages of that book in some new releases, and I'm pretty pleased what I've seen so far.
Yeah, that's Paco Medina's drawing that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, his art looks... as good as you'd expect. It's really, really looking great, and the story sounds interesting. I like what they're getting into with it.
Yeah, I like the they're basically following up off of stuff that was in Ultimate Origins about the origins of mutant kind, and that they're basically man-made. And I like that someone decided to follow up on that, and good on Spencer for picking up that plot point. And, of course, they pick up some threads from Ultimatum just based off of that preview. So I'm looking forward to what they do, what he does.
Yeah, definitely. It's been a long time since I've been excited about Ultimate stuff. That was actually a lot of what got me back into comics a good long while ago.
Really?
So it's going to be cool to dig back into it. Ultimates was... from what I've heard, really cool. I haven't had a chance to dig into it yet, but all the preview art that I saw by Assad Ribic looked great. So,
hey, you know, Ultimates features two former guests, John Hickman and Dean White. Oh man, Dean over Asad Ribic is something else. It's a very beautiful looking book. Again, I don't want to accidentally go into spoilers, but basically there's all kinds of moments here where you just go, how the hell are you gonna get out of that? You know. And it's something that when I had Dean last week, he's mentioned something along those lines where he's reading the script. He's like, how the hell did they get out of that? And there's a few of those going on in this issue. So I can't wait to hear what you think about it, because I think it's right up your alley.
Good times.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think we've spent enough time talking about stuff. Once again, you can look for our stuff on the stuff we talk about on Amazon or on cheapgraphicnovels.com or even DCBS or In Stock Trades. You know, they're also friends of the show. Well, let's go over the list once again. Adam, your picks were?
My picks were St. Swithin's Day by Grant Morrison, Battle Pug by Mike Norton. Actually, that was a joint pick, but, you know, who's counting? Mother Come Home by Paul Hornschmeyer, and Mantooth by Matt Fraction and Andy Kuhn.
And and of course, the additional pick was...
The Tooth, absolutely.
The Tooth by Colin Bunn.
By Sean Lee and Matt Kent.
Thank you. And of course, my picks were Mystery Society by Steve Niles and Fiona Staples, The Sixth Gun by Colin Bunn and Brian Hurt, and of course, Secret Warriors by Jonathan Hickman and Stefano Caselli and Alessandra Vitti and others. And all of these books you can find online, maybe except for St. Swithin's Day, because that's kind of a bitch to find right now. But good luck with it anyway. Of course, you can find Adam on Twitter at twitter.com/AdamWitt. And is there any other place people can find you in, Adam?
AdamWitt.wordpress.com.
Excellent. Of course, you can find me at you can go to my social networking hub at about.me/PatLoika. And of course, you go to my Twitter, twitter.com/PatLoika, where you hear everything from me. Big thanks to all the folks who have been adding me and following me over the last few weeks. It's very cool. We got some really cool guests coming soon, and we will, you know, we'll talk about them once everything's locked. But we've had a lot of people committing to doing the show. Thank you for the reviews on iTunes. We need more. Keep sending them in. Of course, thanks to our good pals and sponsors at cheapgraphicnovels.com, where you can get your trade paperbacks and hardcovers for up to 45% off cover price. And there you go. Once again, this is Pat. And Adam.
Who can't speak for himself, apparently.
Yeah,
it is bad at timing.
Yeah. See, at least you're honest, you know. And until next time, you guys take it easy, and y'all keep it real now, you hear? Did I just say that? No, I just did. All right. Take care, everybody.